Hello and all, welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club. It's your one-stop shop for football betting insight. The nights are drawing in, the football schedule is getting busier. This is the place to be if you want to be across everything going into this weekend's action. It's Jack Reeve, it's Mark Langdon to guide you through proceedings today. Mark, how are you? Are you braced? Are you warm inside, covered from the storms?
Yeah, the storms weren't too bad. I mean, very wet, but something that, it felt like other places had it sort of much worse. I did feel, though, for my new neighbours. We got new neighbours yesterday and, okay. Moving on Thursday in that sort of wet and wind, probably. I mean, it's not the nicest job in the world at the best of times, is it? But I did feel for them. And now they've got to live next to us.
Are you one of these neighbours that judges early doors? Are you already weighing up what they look like?
No, I honestly couldn't care less. I think we've had neighbours in the past that have tried to sort of be over friendly, and I'm a all right type of hello, and then move on with the rest of your day. I always have a go at my wife because she's so friendly, and I just say to her there's just not enough time in the day to sort of chat to people you don't know with such sort of regularity.
Sort of taken around a loaf of bread and a pint of milk then?
No, wouldn't. I mean, if we're going sort of over under, when will I know their name? Probably in about 3 months' time when I have to take a parcel in for them.
We've had League Cup action this week, Mark. I mean, it's interesting filming these podcasts because you do sometimes feel at the risk of repeating yourselves. And I think we are getting to that stage with Manchester United at the moment. I mean, just another dismal display. I looked at the prices earlier that day and I saw the price of that Newcastle. I thought, that's massive. And then I saw the team that Newcastle put out and I thought, oh, fair enough. United should really get this done. Manchester United, that is. And then, I mean, just another pathetic performance from Ten Hag's side.
Yeah, I mean, it was abysmal. Newcastle made a lot of changes. Did you even know that Paul Dummett was still there? And sort of, Matt Ritchie. I mean, this was kind of, some of the sort of dregs from sort of the Steve Bruce era, wasn't it? But they sort of, they're a team, aren't they? And they know what they're doing. The quality will go down, but the actual philosophy remains the same. And there's a structure to what they're trying to do. With Manchester United, nothing could be sort of further from the truth. And I did think that the Sky, post-match after the Man City game, sort of the punditry from those of a Manchester United persuasion was all over the place, really, focusing on, who's the captain. I mean, really, if I was sort of writing down a list of all of Manchester United problems, like the person who calls heads or tails to decide who kicks off would be a long way down the list of them. And I mean, Ten Hag's not the only problem, but if you get rid of him, that is at least one quick sort of solution, isn't it, to some of the issues. I mean, I sort of had a look back at sort of his quotes when he joined, and he was talking about bringing a philosophy and a style of play. We haven't seen that. Two games in last season, he kind of went against his principles, didn't he? They lost those two games. They started whacking the ball longer because he decided they couldn't play the way that his Ajax team had done. But, that's a very short-term view, and it won them the League Cup last year, or helped them to win the League Cup last year, but unsustainable in the long run. And then after the City game, him saying that, it's not in Manchester United's DNA to play like Ajax. I mean, was it in Man City's DNA to play like Barcelona before Guardiola went there? Or, you just go down Liverpool with Klopp, De Zerbi at Brighton. A coach should be able to instill kind of how he wants to play and a vision that is enables you to buy the right type of players. And the kind of all of those decisions that they're getting wrong are being shown up on the pitch at the moment.
I guess the only saving grace for Ten Hag at the moment, Mark, one is their next four or five fixtures on paper look relatively simple. Having said that, their last four have been on paper, not the most difficult. And who else is out there? I mean, I keep seeing De Zerbi's name being banded about, but then do United have the squad in order to play that style? I just look at it and I go, I'm not really sure.
Do they? Well, they don't at the moment, but I mean, a good coach can kind of change the way that people think. You know, I suppose a prime example of that would be wasn't that long ago people felt that sort of Tottenham were a kind of disaster zone, and then Postecoglou comes in, different way of playing, changes some of the players up. But like you see, like I don't know, Bissouma and Sarr, they were there from the previous year, weren't they? And you know, playing in a different way. So I think that's on the coach. I think if you've reached a level where you're good enough to play for Manchester United, then you're able to kind of adapt and you know, take information on. In terms of who's out there, I mean, De Zerbi would be a really interesting choice. I'm sure Brighton fans wouldn't want him to leave. I suspect it'd probably be a bigger name because that's the way United tend to roll. And so you're looking at those that are out there, Zidane and Conte are two. I mean, neither of them would sort of be that kind of long-term visionary that I think they need. The kind of, I heard somebody describe it as like a trauma when Ferguson left and they've never really been able to recover. I mean, it's like a decade ago now.
I know, I
And
know.
still talking about Ferguson, like there's a new generation of people watching football that, you know, they'll know the name Ferguson, but they won't know that team. The people that are playing in the Premier League now are just not scared of Manchester United. That kind of reputation that they built is just gone. And we, and you know, sort of part of that, I suppose, in the media, just still talk about Manchester United as if they're this kind of absolute giant. And you know, they are obviously historically, but you know, from what we've seen in the last 10 years, they're just not, are they, at the moment?
Manchester United are out of the League Cup. Let's take a quick look at the outright market before we talk about some of the other results. Liverpool are now the favourites at 15 to 8. You've got Chelsea at 10 to 3, Newcastle 7 to 2, Everton coming into 8 to 1, West Ham 9 to 1, Fulham 12, Middlesbrough 16, Port Vale still in the hat 250 to 1. I mean, a big well done to Port Vale. I guess the line into the Liverpool game, Mark, was not only, you know, just battered by the storm down in Bournemouth. It looked particularly grim. My favourite striker in the Premier League, Darwin Nunez, continues to just be mad.
I mean, what goal? I mean, that touch initially. I mean, the wind would have played a part in that, surely. You know, like
Yeah.
that sent him off. You know, almost down to Southampton. It was that bad a first touch. But yeah, the finish was brilliant. And I think that you know he's showing more sort of. I think the consistency getting there with him. I mean, he obviously. That was in the Europa League, wasn't it, recently, where he had that amazing run and then missed the sort of the simple bit.
I
Yeah,
loved,
I think
just
he's
on that,
getting
I
there.
loved how utterly distraught he
He
was to
was,
miss it. Just
and
sort of just
when it went in, yeah,
made
from
that
Grubber,
move.
but
Brilliant.
yeah, I think he's getting there. And you know, he still is relatively inexperienced, but you can sort of see that he's got all the tools or a lot of the tools that are required, and I think they probably do deserve to be the price they are, Liverpool, to win the League Cup now. You know, West Ham at home is a fair enough draw, really, given that, as you mentioned, then the next two teams have got each other. Newcastle, they'll be wondering what, you know, what they've done to deserve you know, Man City, Man United, and Chelsea in the draw. He'd probably edge towards Chelsea just because of the amount of fixtures that are kind of piling up for Newcastle. And you know, if they make the same sort of changes against Chelsea, will that be enough? But yeah, Liverpool looking very sort of strong, really, I think, in terms of the League Cup now.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get on to our big match for this week. Right then, our big match this week, Newcastle against Arsenal. 9-5 Newcastle, 6-4 about Arsenal, 5-2 the draw. This one's Saturday evening, 5:30 kickoff. Mark, I mean, Newcastle going well, and I think having looked at that squad against Manchester United, particularly in that those kind of wing back areas, full backs, whatever you want to call them, there's depth there now. That this does feel as if there's a decent squad being built.
Yeah, well, Livramento was sort of player of the match, wasn't he, against United? Lewis Hall got his goal. I mean, they won't cheat, those two
No.
players. So it is an area where they are sort of looking stronger. And I suppose, really, from Eddie Howe's point of view, that's the kind of steady way that they're looking to build that squad, you know, like you just add layers, don't you? Sort of in each transfer window, maybe they don't displace Dan Burn and Kieran Trippier anytime soon. But yeah, I think in the modern game, particularly the way sort of most fullbacks are asked to play, and you know, Trippier definitely gets forward a lot. Dan Burn tends to stay home a bit more. But you know, you are asked to play, as you said there, you know, are they wing backs? Even in a back four, you're almost asking them to play two roles. So I think common sense says that you need depth in that position because there will be rotation. I suppose from Newcastle's point of view, that performance at Wolves last Saturday, though, that looked like a leggy one from them. They'd played on the Wednesday, they'd played on the Saturday. The weather was bad on sort of on Saturday particularly. It was absolutely horrendous, wasn't it? At Wolves. So yeah, that is difficult. And then they've played again on Wednesday, and then they're back out on Saturday again, and then this Champions League. So this is a really busy time for them. They've got some injuries, the Tonali ban as well. But I think that what they've got is undeniable sort of team spirit, and as I mentioned earlier, really a structure and a way of playing that makes it easier to rotate players in and out when kind of, you know, you're training every day on those sort of repetitive sort of tasks that footballers get. And you know, that's why the structure and philosophy and vision and, you know, those sort of guiding principles are so important, really, because it's just what you do every single day in training. And you can see that Newcastle are a well-coached side.
If you were to mark them out of 10, Mark, how would you rate Newcastle's ability to kind of balance the just the relentless scheduling at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've just beaten Man United in the League Cup, but I think it's a problem for them. I'd go like five,
Oh,
maybe.
okay.
Yeah, because I don't think that, you know, we did speak about this last week when we opposed Newcastle for that trip to Wolves. But the two other times that they'd sort of played Europe in the, and then gone to the Premier League, it wasn't so bad for them because they had like a Tuesday Sunday and a Wednesday Sunday. And then that Wednesday Saturday, I think, showed it up. And look, I just think Man United were hopeless in that game at Old Trafford. And, you know, I don't want to sort of read too much into that. You don't, with all due respect, you wouldn't want some of them players that played at Old Trafford, I think, in a Premier League game like the one they've got coming up against Arsenal. You know, like, who plays up front with Isak out? You know, if Wilson's sort of picks up a knock, you know, is it someone like Anthony Gordon again? Do you move sort of Joe Linton back into the forward position where he used to play? So I think that there is a depth issue, that there's no doubt about that, for Newcastle. And I think that they're doing all right at the moment, but it is a problem, I think. And you know, against Wolves, I think had they lost that game, I don't think anyone would have overly complained. And so yeah, I'm just a bit nervy about them being able to sustain it.
Just a word on Arsenal, who also lost in midweek. I know, you know, it was a rotated side, and I think Arteta took the blame, didn't he, after the match, for saying it was kind of on him. Where are Arsenal at coming into this fixture?
Well, Arsenal's fans keep on talking about their floor and their ceiling. It's sort of become like a social media thing, and you know, they're
Sounds like
always going,
an episode of Grand Designs or something.
yes, and it's sort of, you know, our floor, your ceiling, and you know, we still managed to get a draw or still managed to winning. But my sort of feeling about that is that if you keep showing your floor performance, maybe that's sort of where you're heading. And I don't think they've been as good this season as what they were last season. And also got some injury problems, haven't they, particularly up front? I mean, the performance at West Ham, I didn't see the game, but I was told it wasn't very good. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like their away performances, and we might get onto that when it comes to the verdict, some of their away performances been a bit ropey, haven't they, this season? And even when they've won, it's been gritty rather than sparkling.
So, I mean, two sides coming into this, maybe not at the top of their game. Mark, how are you playing it in terms of your bet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go for Newcastle draw, no bet, and it's mainly because of of Arsenal, really, because they lost at Lons. They should have lost at Chelsea as well, shouldn't they? It was 2-0, and the game had really drifted away from them. They played bad in that game for 75 minutes. Gabriel Jesus isn't there, and he was the catalyst for that victory in Sevilla. Eddie Nketiah got his hat trick against Sheffield United, a really likable guy, and a good player obviously to have around the squad. I think there's a drop off though, one when he plays, and there's a big difference between Sheffield United at home and Newcastle United away. And Newcastle very strong at home, won 6 of 8 at home this season, including against Paris Saint-Germain. And last season they only lost twice. One of those is when Nick Pope was sent off early. The other actually was against Arsenal, but maybe I just question whether Arsenal, even though they've brought in Declan Rice, whether just the overall Arsenal is as strong this season at the moment.
Okay, let's take a look at the rest of the Premier League card. We'll start with Fulham against Manchester United. This is the early one on Saturday. 9-4 Fulham, 13-5 for the draw, 23-20 the away side. It's funny, Mark. I mean, just 10 minutes ago on this podcast, I said the next few fixtures for Manchester United look favourable, and then I'm looking at this away trip to Craven Cottage. I'm going, can I see them winning? I don't know.
No, not at the prices. I don't think. I think it's really hard to back them to win. That's why I'm going for Fulham or draw, double chance. I mean, I'm not mad on Fulham, but you mentioned them. They're in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. They did hold Brighton last week. I think Paulinho should have been sent off. I was amazed he wasn't sent off once I'd seen that incident. Really bad one, and should have been picked up by VAR. This is a you don't want to keep going on about Manchester United, but this is more about Manchester United. Ten Hag was talking about their performances, and how they got the they were on a good run, and they'd won 3 in a row. I mean, they scored 2 goals after the 90th minute against Brentford. Sheffield United have more shots on target than them at Bramall Lane, and Onana saved the last sort of second penalty against Copenhagen when they were, I thought, played off the pitch in the first half. So even when they were winning, it wasn't great, and they lost the other 4 games. You can make Man City a Man City, and they can beat you, but they lost at home to Crystal Palace, lost at home to Galatasaray, Newcastle at home as well, and that was not a full strength Newcastle team by any stretch of the imagination. So I think there's going to be United are a shade of odds against, and I mean there'll just be better opportunities to back teams at those kind of prices in the Premier League.
Just the last word on Manchester United, Mark. At what point, when does it become so serious that Ten Hag does get given the boot?
I think it'll probably. I think if the sort of performances results don't improve when the sort of Radcliffe comes in and takes these 25%. It's just a it's an easy kind of win, I think, for the new, well, is he a new owner, sort of, it's hard to know exactly what to call him, but for that new person, it's going to be sort of fronting up the football side. Just a nice easy win, isn't it? I think to sort of take Ten Hag out of the firing line and look to either bring in a visionary or a big name.
Okay, let's take a look at Brentford against West Ham onto the 3 o'clock on Saturday games now. 21-20 for the home side, 13-5 the draw, 5-2 West Ham. I must say, Mark, I looked at these prices and I thought, cool, West Ham look big here.
No, I disagree, Jack. Going to go for Brentford. No Paquetá, no Alvarez, both suspended for West Ham. Did you know that when you looked at the prices?
It was more going off how disappointed I've been with Brentford this season.
I mean,
We
last
were, we
they
were, I
ruined
feel
them.
like
They ruined all my bets last week. They ruined
we're
all
quite
my bets.
civil, Mark, but we always seem to fall out over Brentford. It's always the sticking point with us.
I mean, look, last week, I think as far as Brentford go, Chelsea could have had the game sort of, if not wrapped up, certainly in full control and full command by half time. Didn't happen. They stayed in the game and then won. But yeah, this is more a kind of against West Ham selection for Brentford. I just think Paquetá and Alvarez are hugely influential for West Ham. And I would just point out that victory, there was some sort of wizardry in that victory over Arsenal. They had 5 shots in the entire game and scored 3 goals. That's not 5 shots on target, that's 5 shots, 28 possession, 3 goals. So Yeah, there was a bit of smash and grabness about it, I suppose. But yeah, no, Paquetá and Alvarez is the reason why I'm going for a home win.
You see lack of shots. I see remarkable efficiency.
Yeah,
Burnley
maybe.
against Crystal Palace, 7-4 Burnley, 9-4 the draw, 8-5 Palace. I think in terms of maybe teams that we expected more of this season that simply haven't delivered, Burnley probably top of that list.
Couldn't disagree with that. And in this game, I'm going to go for a draw. And I don't know if that's a that might be seen as sort of a small step in the right direction for Burnley. I couldn't put anybody off. No goal scorer either. I just, yeah, I've been disappointed with Burnley's performances because they had a hard set of games, but you know they weren't amazing at Bournemouth last week when they lost. And yeah, I think this is a really big game for them. It is an opportunity, one of the first ones really where they will fancy their chances of doing something at home. But it's just hard to have faith in them at the moment. And I could say the same about Palace without Eze and Elise. Yeah, they're just not up to much in the forward areas. One goal in three games since Eze's injury, and that was the handball consolation goal against Spurs last week when, yeah, I was very surprised VAR didn't overturn it. So I can see a low scoring game, and yeah, the draw stands out.
I think we're in that stage of the season now with that happens every season with newly promoted sides where a team comes up playing this style and has a real identity, and you can see it slowly being ground out of, and it's happening with Company. You start to sacrifice identity for trying to find short-term results, and it never works. It always ends a certain way, I think. And it's a shame because Burnley were so good last season. Let's take a look at Everton against Brighton then. 21-10 Everton, 13-5 the draw, 6-5 Brighton. I've heard a few people whose opinions I respect, Mark, saying they could maybe see Everton winning this one.
Oh, yeah, you clearly don't respect me, Jack. A Brighton win. Yeah, I mean, Everton are going along quite nicely. In terms of like the last week's been a good one for them. One at West Ham, very powerful in midfield, aren't they? Like Sakore and Onana and Garner. It's like the team of giants, really. They've built a very physical team. And then they sort of easily beat Burnley in the kind of Burnley, the old Burnley, didn't they? The Tarkowski and Sean Dyche weaving their magic. But I think this is obviously a different type of game against Brighton, and I'm not sort of giving up on Brighton just yet. And I do believe that that 3 week that they've got now, in terms of the Europa League, very difficult to combine, as we know, and then they also played in one of their midweeks, Chelsea away in the League Cup. So those are not easy things for a team like Brighton, a squad like Brighton to deal with. I think they would have been relieved to have had the week off. I think you might see something more like the kind of Brighton sort of at their top levels in this game. So yeah, Everton's home form hasn't been that good either. So yeah, Brighton win.
Okay, Man City, Bournemouth. Man City 10's on, 10-1 the draw, 18-1 Bournemouth. How do we find an angle in here?
Yeah, not easy. Man City over 3.5 goals, at sort of around about 10 to 11 was what I was looking at. Won every home game, City. They're going to win most of their home games. Bournemouth lost 3-1 at Liverpool, lost 3-1 at Brighton, 4-0 at home to Arsenal. I mean, they'll try to play their football, and I think it's probably about 1 to 10 that Guardiola bigs up Iraola, either pre-match or post-match for his style of play. He always does that when he beats teams 5-0, doesn't he? So yeah, I just think City will win sort of as easy as they want. And with a quite a comfortable Champions League group, there's no real sort of desire to rest. They've had a free midweek as well, unlike Bournemouth, who were in those the worst of the conditions against Liverpool. So yeah, I think this might be a game Bournemouth give up on.
Yeah, absolutely. Sheffield United at home to Wolves this weekend, 14-5 for the home side, 5-2 the draw, even money about Wolves. Again, Sheffield United, these are the types of games that they need to be targeting to try and win. Whether they do so remains unseen.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of feel a bit for Paul Heckingbottom. the team just doesn't look as good as the one that came up, and they've got some injuries as well as the departures in the summer. I mean, it feels like Chris Wilder has been prepared to take over for a long time, and they haven't quite sort of taken that step. I mean, the Arsenal game last week just predictable, really, wasn't it? That they lost, and where they were showing a bit of fight earlier on in the campaign, that seems to have disappeared. So, yeah, I couldn't put anybody off Wolves winning, but I'm going to go for Hwang, first goal scorer. Sheffield United have only got 1 point. Hwang scored in six of Wolves' last eight games. Got the first goal three times in that period. No Neto, so probably even more goal scoring responsibility on his shoulders. I suppose that's the one concern, really, in terms of backing Wolves in this game, is just how will they be without Neto? He's been one of the stars of the Premier League this season, but Sheffield United are a team in desperate need of just a spark at the moment. Until they get it, it's difficult to believe that they can get anything really out of any game in the Premier League.
It does almost feel, because of Burnley underachieving and the narrative around Luton, the fact that Sheffield United have had the worst start of any Premier League campaign, it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. I mean, if I feel like, maybe it's just because I'm in that bubble, but the times when Norwich have just had catastrophic starts, it feels like that's all I hear about. And Sheffield United have kind of gone under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, they have. I think that is fair. Like, nobody seems to be going, oh, it's a disgrace they're in the
Yeah,
Premier
exactly.
League, and why did they not spend more money? I think there's probably an acceptance that, because of the way the ownership is at the moment, that they're not going to spend money, whereas for maybe somebody like Norwich, there was a belief that they could have had more of a go. Whether that's right or wrong, I suppose is
I think it's
open
just
to
also,
debate.
it also shows the and it's a pretty obvious point here, but the gap between Championship and Premier League is ever growing. Norwich in 18-19 came up, played really well in the Championship, spent 300 grand that summer on Sam Barham, and were embarrassed. This summer, Burnley, similar situation in the Championship. I think they've spent £70 million, and in exactly the same position. So you've got to spend now, I'd probably say, £100 million plus to have a chance, to even have a chance.
Yeah, I think you've also got to buy the right players as well. And that's easier said than done. And because a lot of teams that come up, their kind of recruitment isn't set up for the Premier League, and they have to change that. Like, there's a lot that goes on in the summer. I was listening to Luton just in terms of how much they had to adapt to be a Premier League team, and sort of how many different kind of areas. And we're not talking about just on the pitch, like off the pitch, so many areas just weren't set up for Premier League football and everything that is entailed in that. And we've done a good feature in the Racing Post on Friday, actually, from our data analyst Simon Giles on Mind the Gap, and just how that kind of the big four, well, not the big four, actually, the top four, and the bottom four, that gap is sort of increasingly getting wider. And I think it's the first time in the Premier League era that four teams have had as many points as they have at this stage of the season, and that plays into what you're sort of saying.
Yeah, absolutely. On to Sunday's action then. We'll start with Nottingham Forest against Aston Villa. 16-5 Forest, 11-4 the draw, 17-20 Aston Villa. Villa cruising along nicely, Mark.
They are, yeah, and in a nice run of fixtures. I'm going to go for both teams to score, though, in this game, rather than a Villa win. They have only had one away clean sheet this season. That were in the Premier League. That was at 10-man Chelsea. They've scored in every away game in the league as well, though, bar that trip to Liverpool when they were well beaten. Surprisingly so, really, as well, on that occasion. Nottingham Forest feels like the pressure's actually growing on Steve Cooper. He'll be relieved at how bad some of the other teams have been so far. But both teams to score landed in all of their home games so far this season.
Okay, let's take a look at the other one. Luton against Liverpool. This game also on Sunday. 11-1 Luton, 11-2 the draw, 2-9 Liverpool. Well, I've heard other people saying this much, but the previews going into this season, the kind of anti-post chats that we were all having, I think we were trying to be kind to Luton because we knew, for a Premier League side, this was a very average, if not poor, squad. And there were lots of chat about there will be a big upset at Kenilworth Road this year, and that hasn't happened yet. Any chance of it happening here?
Always a chance, but I mean, I think the sensible play is to go for Liverpool on the half-time, full-time double result. Do you remember when Luton played Tottenham earlier on this season? They were the kind of the first big team to go to Kenilworth Road in terms of sort of those at the top of the table. I know West Ham fans will be very angry with me if I don't mention that they'd gone there and won earlier on, but. They were sort of starstruck, really, Luton. And the first half or the first 30 minutes, I mean, Tottenham missed that. How many chances? It felt like, I mean, Richarlison missed an open goal. There was one-on-ones. Like they just weren't able to kind of play that in that physical nature. And I couldn't see them being even more sort of have stars in their eyes, really,
Do you
against
think that might
Liverpool.
have worn off since then?
Maybe, possibly, but I just think Liverpool are. Way better, and the midfield's been sorted out, hasn't it, by Jurgen Klopp. Defensively, don't look quite as clumsy, and not making as many individual errors as we'd seen sort of last season. And they're still as dangerous as ever in the final third. I think they are the team that's going to lay down the challenge to Man City this season. Really interested to actually see what price City go off. At Luton, when you're reeling off that price, what Liverpool are, could be the shortest price ever, couldn't it, for an away team in the Premier League? But yeah, I just think that the class difference here. I was listening to The Guardian, those and talking about sort of in the sort of mid to late 80s, Luton were Liverpool's bogey team, but there's no plastic pitch this time around, and I think that. That was a leveler back then, and maybe they're wishing they could roll it out for this game. But no, I think Liverpool will, if they play like they can, they'll have this one wrapped up by half time.
What would be the shortest price in away teams that have gone off in the Premier League? I
I mean,
think
off
Man
the top
City
of.
have gone off at Carrow Road like at least tens on before.
No, they wouldn't have been
No.
10s on, surely. No, not away from home. No. I mean, sort of. I mean, I don't know. So you've thrown a question at me. You can tell we don't prepare for these type of questions before the show. I mean, I think Liverpool, sort of, what price did you say they were? 2-9.
2-9, yeah.
I mean, I suspect that City might have gone off maybe a touch shorter somewhere if they were kind of playing against a sort of lower team when they were going for a title, maybe. But in terms of actually. A game at the sort of a normal part of the season, inverted commas, this will be pretty short,
Okay.
for what you get.
Okay, well, there's the homework for our viewers. Let us know in the comment section what's the shortest price you can remember an away team going off. Let us know. Your prize is pride. Monday Night Football, looking forward to this. It's Spurs against
We'll
Chelsea.
name them next week. We'll name them next week on the
Okay,
show.
we'll do that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Spurs even money, 11-4 the draw, 5-2 Chelsea. Nervous, Mark, for this one? Confident, cocky? What's the feeling?
I mean, I think relatively confident from a kind of fan point of view, but I do believe in terms of the value bet, I'm going to go for Chelsea to win. This is totally on expected goals, and it's not the be all and end all. And clearly Tottenham have had an amazing start to the season, 8 wins, 2 draws in the Premier League, so. All's well, so I think you have to be confident as a fan. But if Chelsea are running really cold on expected goals, Tottenham are unbelievably hot at both ends, both attacking and defensively. And I just think at some stage, those two things will move back towards the norm. And maybe this is a good time to back Chelsea when they are a bigger price. There's less pressure. Almost feels like the weight of expectation at Stamford Bridge sort of maybe didn't do them any favours in that game against Brentford because they played well up until they conceded and then went to pieces. I think if Enzo Fernandez is back, that'll be a big plus for Chelsea. He missed out on that game at Brentford and just real calming influence. And it's the Pochettino, the lure of the X, isn't it? Pochettino coming back to Spurs. I mean, he'll be massively up for it because he's not going to get the reception he probably feels like he deserves. And yeah, I think it's a really big game. It's an interesting game. Obviously, you've got the Pochettino bit. Can Tottenham sort of they probably won't be top at that point, but over the game week, stay on top of the table. Their fixture list is about to get tougher, and it starts with this game. So a big test for Spurs. They passed the other one so far, the draw at Arsenal. But if I just look back at, say, even like the Man United and Liverpool games, like Man United had the better of that first half, didn't they, against Spurs? Liverpool were on top, but it was a good game, man, that Spurs Liverpool game. The red card changed the dynamic. I mean, we've gone over that goal, that VAR goal, many times as well. And so things just fell and have fallen for Spurs, and maybe they'll continue to do so. But I just feel like Chelsea will go on a run sometime soon if they just carry on playing like they are, because you can't keep missing the chances, surely.
Has the mentality almost shifted at Spurs now, where there is an expectation, or we not at that point yet?
Not at that point yet.
No.
No. I think if they can qualify for the Champions League, that will still be a very good season for Tottenham. You mentioned about how good the top of the Premier League is these days. They're in a good position to qualify for the Champions League, and not many fancied them for a top four finish. I think it's fair to say, even before Harry Kane was sort of sold and not properly replaced. So, if they're still up there at sort of Christmas, I think that maybe then you have to, don't you? You'd be halfway through the season, but not yet, too soon.
Dare to dream, Mark. Right, that's the Premier League card marked off. Let's talk to Dan Childs now for all things EFL. Yeah, I always look forward to this part of the show. We get to chat to Dan Charles about all things EFL. We always start with a team in focus, a team that's caught Dan's eye for good or bad reasons. Dan, who are we going to be looking at this week?
I'm going to go with Hull in the Championship this week. Finished about 15th last season. Liam Rosenior came in during the season. They seemed to get better as the season went on. Quite encouraging signs there, and they've really kicked on, since the summer. And seventh at the moment, only lost three of their first 14 games, and I don't think the markets have caught up with them. So that's why I've kind of going to do a focus on them this week. Because I think they're going to stay up there. They're seventh at the moment. They've played all the four top four teams: Southampton, Leeds, Ipswich, and Leicester. Had some good results in some of them games as well. Drew 0-0 at home to Leeds, the only team that's won at Leicester. They won 1-0 away to Leicester, so that catches the eye. But just more generally, you look at their side. I looked at the business they've done up front. Liam Delap had come in on loan from City. I thought he struggled a bit at Stoke last season when he was on loan there, but he's clearly well thought of. He's in the England under-21s. He's started to do the business. Four goals, two goals in his last three. Aaron Connolly, they got him from Brighton on a permanent. He's got five goals. And the best of the three forwards they brought in, Jadon Philogene, I think he's an outstanding player. He caught my eye when he was on loan at Cardiff from Aston Villa. They played against Watford, and he just looked amazing. Looked the best player on the pitch. For some reason, he hasn't made it at Villa. Villa have let him go for 5 million. I think this is going to be one of the EFL signings of the summer. The way he started at Hull, he's got three goals and four assists already in nine appearances. They signed him on deadline day. And you watch him play, he's just got bags of skill and pace, and he's getting that consistency to his game now. In tough away games, he takes them up the pitch, makes an impact. And I just think Hull, with those forward players, compared to last season that they've got, they're solid enough at the back as well. There's only 16 goals conceded in 14 games, and I think they're going to stay up there. They're seventh at the moment, 16-1 they are to go up, which I think is massive, because I fancy them to finish in the top six. If you're less adventurous, they're 3-1 for a top six finish. But yeah, I think they'll go well.
How are you approaching, particularly in the championship, Dan, with kind of if you're looking to get with a team to go up, are we assuming that the top two are done and dusted now? I mean, I guess Leicester are gone, aren't they?
Leicester are gone. I wouldn't say Ipswich are certainties because because of the chasers there. You've got Leeds and Southampton that are just in behind. I do think they're going to get better as the season goes on. They're already improving. And yeah, I think that Ipswich could come under pressure from either of those two. I think the top four will probably be those four. And, not sure in what particular order. But and then I look at the league at the moment, and I think there's two spots for the playoffs that could be. There could be as many as 10, 12 clubs going for them other two spots. That's the way I see it at the moment. Obviously, Leeds and Southampton have not got away from the rest yet, but I do think they'll be stronger as the season goes on.
Yeah, wide open, isn't it, at the moment? Okay, let's get into your selections for this weekend then, Dan. Three picks. Who should we start with?
Yeah, we'll stick with the Championship and the team that I watch regularly, Watford, playing away to Huddersfield. They'll be one of those sort of 10 or 12 teams, as I mentioned, that'll be trying to get into one of them playoff spaces. Didn't have a great start to the season. A lot of people thought Bonaire and Ishmael, especially the way Watford are, trigger happy with their managers, that a lot of people thought he might, get the sack, going into towards the last international break. And just before it, they actually handed him an extended contract, which people raised a few eyebrows. But since then, they've actually gone on a four-game unbeaten run. Maybe things are starting to turn for Watford. They've had looking a bit more solid at the back. 1-0 wins against Sheffield Wednesday and away to Swansea, which was a big one because they've been poor away from home. 2-2 at home to Millwall last weekend, but they had 19 shots. Looked on the front foot for most of that game. They do seem to be turning it around now. With the squad at the moment, considering what they've lost up front with Pedro and Sarr going, I don't think they've got enough up front at the moment to get in the top six. They'd have to do something in January and maybe bring a better quality striker in. But they're looking good for at least a top 12 finish. As against Huddersfield, I think they're going to struggle to stay up. They're fourth from bottom at the moment, done very little to change their squad around in the summer. Change of manager, Warnock going and Darren Moore coming in. But I think it's quite a tough gig for more. The last couple of games, they've lost 4-0 at home to Cardiff, 4-1 away to Leeds, where they shipped four in the first half. And there are a bit problems in midfield for this game against Watford. Jonathan Hogg, banned ex-Watford player, and Jack Redonia, an influential midfielder, who's injured. So they've got a bit of a hole there in midfield. Watford, as I said, they're not a fantastic side, but I think for this weekend, 11-8 they are, looks a good price to me.
Okay, who's the second pick for this weekend, Dan?
Yeah, we'll start going into the FA Cup now, and it's an All League One FA Cup first round. So Wigan away to Exeter. Wigan actually went to Exeter a few weeks ago, won 2-0. It was a bit of a kind of a rope-a-dope performance. They sort of sat back and counter-attacked and soaked it up. But since then, they've kind of been playing a bit better, Wigan. They've won three of the last four games. Got a load of options up front there with Stephen Humphreys, Callum Lang, Charlie Wyke. Got a lot of good forward players to pick from. So if he wants to sort of change it around, Sean Maloney, the manager there, he's got plenty of attacking options. Exeter, their squad, it's looking a bit thin at the moment. Had a lot of injuries. Lost 3-2 at home to Middlesbrough in the EFL Cup fourth round on Wednesday. I mean, there's no disgrace in that. They've done well to get to that stage. But their league form has been dreadful lately. 1 point from the last seven league games. This is obviously a cup match, but I can see them getting knocked out of a second cup in 5 days. Wigan at 2-1 looks a big bet to me to win there.
Okay, third and final selection for this weekend.
Yeah, FA Cup again. We're going to go with Derby from League One away to Crewe in League Two. Shade of odds on Derby. I think that's perfectly reasonable. With the FA Cup first round, sometimes managers make a lot of changes. I'm not so sure that Paul Warne will do that. He's still under quite a bit of pressure at Derby. They did win 4-0 at home to Northampton on Tuesday, but they're seventh in League One, a bit below par where the supporters feel they should be. I don't think he'll be resting low for this game. There'll be a bigger travelling support there, not a big distance between Derby and Crewe. So he's going to want to pick a strong team and get a bit of momentum going. Crewe have been going well in League Two. They're fifth in the league at the moment, but they've had a couple of big blows on the injury front recently. Jack Powell, influential midfielder, done great since arriving from Crawley. He's out long term. Less certain about how long that Chris Long, the top scorer, is going to be out. He limped off with a thigh injury last weekend where they won away to Harrogate. But that's two big players, potentially they could be losing for at least one of them, obviously Powell, but two could be out for the weekend. And I think Derby are not going to need much encouragement to put on a strong performance there. I fancy them at a shade of odds on.
Okay, so we've got Watford, Wigan, and Derby. They're the picks from Dan Charles for this weekend. Dan, thanks as always.
You're welcome, Jack.
Big thanks to Dan Charles as always. You can check out more of his work on the Racing Post Sport website. Mark, let's round things off this week with your best bets. We'll start with a bet builder, shall we?
Yeah, why not? And it's going to wait until Monday. I'm looking forward to the game, Tottenham against Chelsea, not just because I'm a fan. I think even neutrals will be up for this Monday night game. And I think it will live up to the billing. So I'm going to go for over 2 goals, so 3 or more goals in the game. Tottenham are an attack-minded team. It's pretty obvious. You can see that in everything that they try to do. Does leave them vulnerable to Vicario's been very good in goal so far this season, but the fact he's had to work so hard is maybe a hint at where things might go in the future. And then sort of following on from that, I'm going for Sterling to have a shot on target. I think if anybody looks like they're going to score for Chelsea at the moment, it is Raheem Sterling. And we know that Tottenham vacate those fullback areas. Doggy, if he's fit, and he's only 50-50. Pedro Porro, very attack-minded, and they do leave space. So I think Sterling, I was going to go for Sterling to score, but I sort of play it slightly safer there with the shot on target. And then going to round it all off with the granddad of the Chelsea team, Thiago Silva, to be booked. He's been booked in 2 of his last 3 matches. He is typically a very sort of clean defender and doesn't get caution that often, but you do wonder at sort of 39, what the tactic is if somebody runs beyond him. And these days it is to just block them and foul them. And of course, Spurs have got a very speedy striker in Son, James Maddison's through balls. I think you can picture a scene there where he gets isolated against Thiago Silva. And I think if you, I don't know, can you bet on somebody to be booked for fouling somebody else? But it feels like if you can do like a request a bet style thing, that might be one to look at.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to that game, Mark. Let's get a treble for this week now.
Yeah, so we're going to go for Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen to win at Hoffenheim. Absolutely stunning results from them so far this season in all competitions. They've won 13 of their 14 matches. The only time they didn't win was away to Bayern Munich. The XG was basically level in that game as well. So I think they can win away at Hoffenheim. Forest against Villa, both teams to score. It's happened in all of Forest's home games so far this season in the Premier League. And then hopefully that'll all be running on to Liverpool against Luton. And I'm going to go for Liverpool on the double result.
Great stuff. And if you were to only have one bet this week, what's the strongest? What's the nap?
Yeah, I don't always play, well, I very rarely actually play in the double result market because obviously it's not in sort of the team's need to be ahead at half time. But I do think the difference in quality between Liverpool and Luton will be shown fairly early in the game at Kenilworth Road. So I am going for Liverpool to be leading at half time and to win at full time. And then I might even have a go at a couple of crazy correct scores actually in that game in terms of like a really wide margin success for the Merseysiders.
Good stuff, Mark. Thanks very much. Very much. What's your week? What does your weekend look like when your team's playing on a Monday?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very frustrating actually because Spurs have they played Monday against Fulham, then
Yeah.
Friday against Crystal Palace, and so that there has been that sort of vacuum at the weekend. I haven't really got anything planned for this. Well, I mean, it would just be watching the football anyway, and then just watching it on Monday as well. So it takes the pressure off, actually. I quite enjoy playing on the Friday night and getting it out of the way, if that makes sense. But I prefer that to the Monday, waiting around for everybody else, particularly when it's Chelsea, particularly when it's Pochettino's return. I sort of just, I just want that to happen.
Yeah, Norwich play at midday on Sunday this week. It just feels awfully early. For
Yeah.
I'm hardly going there bouncing at the moment. 12
Yeah, well,
o'clock.
you've also I saw you've got Ipswich coming up next month as well, haven't you?
Should we not talk about our little bet that we
Come
had?
on, the tractor boys.
On that note, we'll end things there. Big thanks to Mark as always. Remember to everyone at home, if you are having a bet, please do so with money that you can afford to lose. Always gamble responsibly. We'll see you again very soon for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.